Hello, welcome to this week's episode of the Stress Sessions. Well, we did it, guys. We hit the 1,000 download mark for January, and I can't describe how happy I am to do that because, I mean, for some people, 1,000 downloads in a month for a podcast is nothing. But for me, to have that sort of support is really, really great, and I really, really appreciate every single person that's downloaded a podcast, listen to a podcast, subscribe to the podcast. It honestly means so much to me. And I think when I'm recording these things, people don't actually realise how much time and effort it goes into getting the guests on the show, recording the podcast, sending emails back and forth to get the people on. The editing takes so long. It's such a really long process because you have to listen to it, then you have to listen to it again, and yeah, it just takes a really, really long time. Then there's the publishing, the promotion. So yeah, it's a lot of hard work, but when you get that sort of result, it makes it all worthwhile. So yeah, thank you so much for downloading, and please continue to do so because it puts a smile on my face. It makes me very happy, and it just makes this worthwhile, like I said. So also this week, I realised that I had managed to, well, thanks to all your downloads, I managed to get into the top 100 mental health podcasts in the UK and Ireland, which again, ridiculous. For a little podcast like mine, that is ridiculous. And I'm I'm proud of myself. I'm actually proud for doing it because I started this just over 6 months now, and it's been a really long process to get it going and get the content sorted. But yeah, thank you. Yeah, thanks. Just thank you. Thank you to all of you that downloaded any of the Stress Sessions episodes. It's been great. So who is this week's guest? So I've got a Exeter-based artist. He goes by the name of LP Edits. His actual name's Lewis, that I recently found out. And yeah, we just sat down, we chatted a little bit about mental health, about what got him into art, and what he's got coming up in the future. And it was a really, really, really interesting chat. And the first ever giveaway on an episode of the Stress Sessions, I've got an LP Edits original to give away. All you've got to do is download this episode, listen to the buzzword or phrase that could be at any point in this episode, but you'll hear it loud and clear, believe me, I'll make sure of that. And yeah, all you've got to do is send it to me in a DM at the Stress Sessions and make sure that you're following both me and LP Edits, otherwise your entry won't count. So yeah, all you've got to do is listen to the podcast, download it obviously before that. Once you hear the buzzword, send me a DM, make sure you're following me, make sure you're following at LP Edits, and yeah, you'll be in the chance to win an original LP Edits, which is incredible because all of his stuff sells out instantly. It's amazing. He's great. And yeah, so without further ado, here is the Stress Sessions with LP Edits. Hello, mate.
I can't hear you. Where's my... How do I turn things up? Where's the thing then? Here we go.
Yeah?
Yes.
Yes. How you doing, mate?
Good, yeah.
Do you know what's really funny? So I was gonna do a thing at the start of this, because I didn't know what your name was.
Well, it's Lewis.
Yeah, I saw it pop up. I was like, "Oh, no, your name is."
Yeah, at the bottom. I tried changing it. I tried to. LP Edits is Lewis Prince. So that is my actual name there.
Because I was a bit like, "Is it linked to Linkin Park?" Or
nah, no, it's LP Edits. So originally, the whole art thing when I first started it properly like 3 years ago, or maybe nearly four, I had just had the whole concept in my mind that I was just going to do art, and then I was going to sell just prints of this art that I was doing. And then it kind of evolved into basically doing the opposite. I started then doing more original stuff than I did doing the print stuff. So it's like, it's kind of, yeah, it's gone the other way really, actually. But yeah, so it's Lewis Prince. So I've used my first name at the beginning of that, and then Prince. And then the edits is because that's what I do. Change things around and then whatever. But yeah, so it's not Linkin Park, it's Lewis.
Well, that's a bit there I am. How did you get into it initially? Like, because I guess you've been doing the Instagram page now for what, like almost 3 years now, I think it is.
Yeah, the Instagram. Well, a little bit longer. 2017. Where are we? Three and a bit years. Because I was doing something before the Instagram, the one that I use now. I was doing something before that for about 6 months or so. It was almost like a trial sort of page.
Okay.
It still exists on Instagram, I think, actually. But anyway, yeah. So three and a half, 4 years. Basically, this is going to sound really wet, and it's not going to sound very artistically or anything like that at all. You know, if you had like art critics or something, they'd be like, "Oh, you know, that just sounds stupid." But basically, I've always loved doing art since I was tiny. Like always, my mum's got. This is down the route of like my mum having stuff that I created when I was 4 or 5 years old, sort of thing. Well, I'm actually younger than that, I think. But I've always leaned towards doing art, and one of the main reasons for that was that my nan, she was really, really artistic, and like I used to go around to her house and stuff. And she used to put all her own stuff on the walls and that.
Oh, okay.
She used to paint in oil and watercolour. She was an amazing artist, like really, really good. Like all traditional sort of art, do you know what I mean? Like so like a flower out of watercolour, and it's how you'd be taught to be able to do flowers with watercolour sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then she'd do like scenes and stuff. Anyway. Basically, I was brought up, I suppose, in an artistic-y sort of like environment. My mum was always quite creative, but my nan, she was just like a local artist, like not known really. I mean, she used to brag about selling this, that, and the other for like 300 quid or 200 quid or something like that to someone. You know, in the county next to us or whatever, you know, yeah. Like Bristol. I just sold something to someone in Bristol, like for 200 quid. And that would be few and far between. She was like, I suppose, like almost like what most artists, if not all artists, really, apart from like the elite at the top, I'd probably even put myself in that little bucket of people that you don't really sell art. I mean, I do it probably a lot better than she did because I've got internet to be able to
Let
out to people. She didn't have that. She just had like art groups and little fairs and stuff like that. So anyway, without going on, she was my main influence really. And 3 years ago or 4 years ago, I think 4 years ago, she got quite ill. And I've always said, so I went around to her house once and I was showing her the art that I do that I put on Instagram. And she was like, oh, that's amazing. That's absolutely amazing. And she's always say, oh, Lewis, dear, you know, that's amazing. How are you selling it to people in America? And it's like, it's the internet sort of thing. Like, it was just like a really innocent sort of conversation because she didn't really get it. And basically, my mission at the moment, whether you choose to use this or not, is to try and do something that she couldn't and that she wanted to. So I just want to kind of make sure that I tie up loose ends in the art world and our family to make something of it. Do you know what I mean? So I've always vowed that I'll make something of it on a, with her name, basically.
Yeah.
But that aside, that's the emotional side of it all. And the reason why I got into art initially. But the main reason, and the main reason why I do what I do, is because I literally enjoy it. And it takes my mind into a different place. Anytime that I go out there to create or even think about ideas or design ideas, this, that, and the other, literally, I just kind of, I can disconnect myself away from what's going on.
It's lovely in a way because you're kind of carrying on from your nan's legacy, aren't you? Really, you're kind of trying to, a little bit.
I mean, she was phenomenal in what she did. Absolutely, a brilliant artist in what she did. But yeah, I'm trying to bring a bit of her, through with it all, sort of thing.
Yeah, but it's, I mean, and again, at the same time, you love doing it, so that's.
Yeah, and I think that's the main thing. I think that's the main thing with anything. Right, so this book here, this was the first book that I read. Because I will admit, I've been through some very, very dark times in my life because of all kinds of things, like really dark moments. I've expressed that through art. I've expressed that through probably shouting or conversation. I've expressed that through sadness, this, and it's endless. But when I do get to a point where I do feel in a dark place or in a, not a good place, I was buying books and I was thinking, right, I need to fix my mind, I need to fix my brain, because I need to just work on what it is that I need to think about. So this was the first book. It's got coffee stains on it and everything.
You probably, oh, no way. I've just bought it.
So this is actually, when you read this, he doesn't try and manipulate you in any form. He basically tries to test your, it doesn't test, he just, it's just like a nice free, nice, easy reading book. So it's The Chimp Paradox.
Mm-hmm.
And the mind management thing. This was the first book that I read when I was feeling crap, like really, really shit. So I read this, and it just puts your whole mind in a different perspective. Like literally, you almost flip things around. Like the whole bridge thing that I was saying about earlier, and there's loads of other examples. And without sounding too religious, a few people have said, "Oh, read this on Buddhism, right?" And I don't use Buddhism as like a religion to read, but if you read some of the things, I had a really cool book, and I don't know where it's gone, but it was to do with Buddhism, and like it's more of the it's not trying to force a religion or anything like that. It's like just making you think differently, the way to approach stuff. So anyway, that was like. That was a really cool book. But anyway, the second one, this one was really bad. But I just thought that I had to almost calm myself and can't get my mind to a point. I'm showing you these books. This one's going to probably look like I'm a weirdo, but it's not. I just use this because I had to. And I'm not saying to anyone to do this before anyone thinks, oh, mate, he's just like a hippie or something, I don't know. But this book here, I did do this a little bit, and it just, I think what it does is it relaxes you to a point where you can then think again. Because you overthink things.
Yeah.
And then you overthink it so much that actually the thoughts that you are overthinking become so jumbled up that you don't even know what you're thinking about. And then you just get to a point where you're just like, what? I don't even know what I'm thinking about. What the hell? So I bought this. The Art of Hypnosis. Okay. And I've done that one as well. And I just think it's just... I think if you can... Like, so I would say that I'd probably... I'd say that I probably live in a bit of a hypnotic state most of my life when I'm doing the art side of things, but not, I'm not like, you know, yeah. I'm not doing that. But I do live in like almost a dream world a little bit, I suppose, where like stuff isn't quite as bad as what they're made out to be.
When I was messaging you on Instagram, you said that you've, like, I feel free not to talk about it, but
yeah.
You said that you've had kind of like episodes where you've felt like committing suicide, and you've had quite like bad thoughts, just to put it like in a simple term. Like how did you get to that situation, and how did you get?
So the whole like suicide thing, I don't anymore. This is going back a long time ago, and I would probably say the reasons because of that were that I didn't understand myself. I was at that age, or I was at a time in my life, I just didn't really know what direction I was going to go. I didn't have the art then. I had like a good job, but I didn't enjoy it, or, you know, whatever. I just didn't have any real direction. I had all kinds of stuff going on. I would say that like it's quite hormonal, maybe, yeah. You know, hormones and stuff like that. It's just like you don't really know what's going on in your life. I think until you really discover the person you are or the person you want to be, until you really get to that point, I think life is a struggle. Like, and I think that you do act out of desperation or whatever sometimes, stupidly or whatever. I don't think it's like an isolated thing. I would say it's probably more of a male thing than it is a female thing, without sounding sexist or anything. But I think we, as a male species, we always feel like we've got to live up to something, or we've got to compare ourselves to something, or you know, we feel like we've got to be something, or, you know, whatever. So, yeah, I went through really dark time. I mean, I was probably 23, 24. And yeah, I mean, I went through all kinds of stuff. It's nice though, because it's nice to do all those things, because then you've got the experience of doing those things. You can use them to your advantage later in life. So it's it is nice. I would never ever regret those, you know, those moments or decisions or anything like that back in my life. I use them now as like tools, if you like, to like almost, you know, be better going forward. So I've corrected everything that was and gone that way.
Which is
it was confusion more than anything. So like, in short, it was absolute confusion and not knowing who I was, in a way. I was trying to be someone I wasn't.
I think a lot of people must go through that though, because
I think everyone goes through that. I think it's more of a male thing than it is a female thing, like I say. Girls seem to just deal with early life better than men. I think we just got too much going on in our fucking minds at that particular point. We're just clueless. I think at early age, when you leave school and then kind of get to a point where you're quite, you know, whatever you're doing as a job, I think you're in just like a void of confusion. I haven't got a clue. Not everyone. I'm not saying everyone. I think a lot of people do go through that time, and it's either it's influenced through people, or it's, you know, self-afflicted, or I truly think that one of the biggest causes is past things that have happened, and it just hasn't been dealt with.
Yeah, massively. Yeah. Yeah,
it always just lingered, and then you almost take that through unconsciously unconsciously just take it through life and just not really understand that you haven't dealt with those things, and you kind of bring them through at an age where you've got testosterone and all this shit going on, and it's like, yeah, it just kind of blows your brain a little bit.
Yeah.
Yes, you're right. I think everyone goes through it, like literally everyone. And if they don't go through it early in life, I think they definitely go through it later in life, and you get all these people that go through midlife and, you know, this, that and the other. So, I think you're definitely right.
Yeah, I think that, again, like, I've spoken about that I've had kind of like counselling for certain events and stuff that have happened in my life, and I don't know, like, I still feel like personally I'm still trying to find my purpose, kind of thing.
When you go to these counselling sessions and stuff like that, I mean, they do help.
Yeah.
But
they never tell you what to do directly. They kind of like beat around the bush a little bit.
Because what they're trying to do is they're trying to get you to basically think for yourself without sounding like horrible or anything like that. But they're trying to get you to, because the only real way that you can actually be better is by being at a point where you are literally fending for yourself almost a little bit. Counsellors, I think some people go into that sort of thinking that they're going to come out being fixed, but it's not. They can help you, but they can only help you if you help as well. It's like a two-man or two-woman or, you know, two-person effort sort of thing. I used to like gamble a lot, like massive. And I used to use that as a suppressant for, mind things, yeah?
Yeah.
So I've replaced gambling for art, which is actually quite a nice swap, I suppose. Just like people use like exercise instead or, you know, whatever. So I had to put myself in a position to basically say, I had to say, you can't do this anymore. And if you do, you'll only be letting yourself down, sort of thing.
Yeah.
I put it on myself and I sort of self-cured myself. And it was only through books and stuff like that that I've been able to do that. Sometimes if you feel too reliant on someone else to be able to help you, then you feel let down and it makes the whole feeling feel worse.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
So if you think, I'll go to the counsellor, I'm going to talk to them about it, and you are right, they do. The reason why they do is because they're kind of there as a mutual sort of ground, you know, as a neutral. They don't give opinion, they don't judge you, they don't, you know, this, that, and the other. And you talk to them and you talk to them about this, that, and the other. But they will only be able to help on what you tell them. And, you know, if you don't tell them everything, they're not going to be able to help on everything or, you know, whatever. And the only way, like, if you were to sort of open out and literally tell them everything that was on your brain, you would have then done that yourself. You would have like almost self-healed yourself because you got it out of your own mind. I've done pieces on mental health and stuff like that previous on art side of things when I've struggled mentally. So a lot of the art that I do usually reflects my mood at the time. So the mental health piece that I did with the Keith Flint, so I sprayed that and put, don't suffer in silence, talk. I was going through some absolute shit at the time. And I used that as my way of speaking because it's not easy to speak to someone. That's what counsellor's there for, is someone you literally don't know. So if you was to literally open up to that person of all the things that were always on your brain, Because I think maybe some people go to a counsellor and they feel like they're going to be judged by the counsellor, because they are sometimes actually they're not very nice people to talk to, and it almost feels like they are judging you. That's not there. They're not there for that. They're meant to be there as a neutral ground that you can vent stuff out on. And if you approach a hostile counsellor, you know, and it feels like actually you can't even talk to this person, there's no ground going to be won in that. So yeah, I vent a lot of my mental stuff out of my art, but I do it so neutral that it doesn't offend anyone, or that people don't pick up on it too much.
Yeah, because that's just... I wouldn't... Well, again, like I thought the Keith Flint piece was brilliant, because... I love The Prodigy as well, so that's good. But I would never realise that you were going through a tough time, because I guess you've got a kind of how do you put it? Like you've got to keep up your work on Instagram and keep like doing.
Well, it does bother me. Like just jumping in, I do try and do it daily, because I do feel like I'd have to. I do feel like I want to give people something every day. I don't force it. I do it because I like doing it. But I do... not so much now, but there has been pressure that I feel like I have to do something. There is that. But those pressures don't affect me in any kind of way. There's a piece on the Keith Flint one that you'll see... you might have missed it, or I don't know whether you have or not, but I'm stood next to the Keith Flint piece I did, and I'm smiling in it. And basically I'd probably say 1 week, I think, after that photo, might have been less than that, might have been like 3 or 4 days, my dad died. He had leukemia, basically, and so through all of 2019, he was really, really ill, and it was one of the most nightmarish things, alongside of other things that were really, really bad. Basically, I'm smiling in the photo, and what was really happening behind the scenes didn't reflect the smile, is what I was trying to sort of get out with the photo. It's easy to smile, and it's easy to hide emotion, very easy to hide emotion. I think that's what we're built to do, to be honest, as a human being. It's the talking. So I've put in that actual photo of, you know, basically I'm smiling in the photo, but actually the image doesn't really show what was happening behind the scenes. And that's me talking on a platform.
Yeah,
that's me, basically. Like, you as the audience are my counsellors. I'm talking to you and then you'll talk back, and I'll go, okay then, yeah, cool. So we just got over that then. I say because you were with me on that, and you didn't judge me, or, you know, whatever, and I just put it out there, and that's just the way it is. And I think that's like what you kind of do as well with your, you know, your platform that you've got going on at the moment. And fair play to you, do you know what I mean? I think you really, really should be sort of congratulating yourself on what you're doing at the minute. It takes a lot of courage to set up a platform like you have, to vent emotion, basically.
It is definitely a vent. It's definitely a vent a lot of the time about how I'm feeling about what's going on with the world or anything or something like that. And I think the thing that it's shown me is that there's so many other people that you're not, when you're having these thoughts, you're not the only person that's thinking them. I think that having a pet is very therapeutic a lot of the time. And I think that dogs are hard work,
but
it's really nice to have a pet to...
It is. It is, yeah.
Because I couldn't live without my cat. My cat... Because I'm more of a dog person, but we've got a cat, and he's literally a dog. He just follows you around everywhere. Like
I think pets are very good for the mental health, and which is the reason why we've domesticated them. To be honest, I mean, like, they're basically wild animals that live in our houses. I think you get a pet for different reasons, if I'm really honest with you. And I say that because, like, you get a dog or a cat, if you haven't got a baby, or if you're going to have a baby, or if, you know, whatever, you get, like, a dog or a cat. You get, like, a hamster or a goldfish for, like, a child to, like, teach them about life and death. Yeah. on the old side of it.
Mainly death.
I think there's reasons we have pets and whatever. And, like... I mean, you know, dogs, companions and cats, people literally have these little domesticated fellas or whatever, because they do keep people company, and it is truthful. And as well, they're a good excuse for talking to yourself, aren't they?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You could be alone in the house with a cat or a dog. You can have a full-blown conversation with that cat or dog that it hasn't got a clue what you're saying. You've basically just had a conversation, and that, a little bit, going back to what I was saying before about the venting of emotions and whatever, you've just done that through an animal.
Yeah.
Like, literally, you just vented a little bit of a thought. If you had, like, a stressful day, you know, that guy at work, he stressed me out today. You just said that to a cat, and that's just got it off your mind. You know what I mean? It's things, thoughts are better out here than they are on there. Because I think that's one of the reasons why, actually, you know, if you keep them in there, they really do eat away at you. Whether they're good or bad, they just literally linger there. So you just got to get them out, like, literally get them out. In some form, you know, that's the reason why people write books or, you know, do art.
Do a podcast.
Or, you know, whatever. Yeah.
I drop cards around with little positive phrases on. Yeah,
they're really cool.
Just everywhere.
And do you know what I haven't done yet? And I was going to do it on here. I was going to save it for tonight. I was literally going to go on here. I was going to go, there we are. Done it. I've got some very old friends actually that follow your page.
Oh, okay.
That's quite cool. But yes, I have seen the cards and stuff. I think that's a really, really cool idea. Yeah, really nice. So have you got positive? You've got good feedback from that?
Yeah. I've only dropped them around Milton Keynes so far, and people send in little pictures of them saying, "Oh, I found this," and tag me in it and stuff, which is really nice. Like, but sharing the positivity. But then I've also launched like a little thing where people can donate £6 to charity. £5 goes straight to Calm, and then a quid goes for me posting them. And I'll post out six of the little cards to whoever wants them.
Mm.
I think I've raised about £150 so far for Calm, yeah. And I've not even launched it yet. it's literally just three people messaging me going, "Can I have some of those cards?" And that's literally it.
It is, and I think like things like that, like little acts of kindness, I think they do make you feel a lot better, and. I think they do help with you trying to almost sort your own head out a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, like for me, on a personal sort of stance, I did a thing for charity for, it's a local charity, ELF, which is their Exit Leukemia Foundation. I raised money for that. And I raised money for that because I felt like I had to repay them for what they did for my dad, and it, like you almost like you feel guilty using their facilities, you know, this, that, and the other, and you might, it almost suppresses your mind so much. You're like it's just doing my brain in that I can't repay you for what you've done, sort of thing. And just little acts of, you know, like kindness like that, it just takes a little bit of weight off you, just to sort of so you know in your mind that. Well, I've done that, and now I feel I've achieved that, and I'm, you know, I thank you, you know, so like you're almost thanking someone in a generous sort of way.
They
wouldn't know whether you did it or not, sort of thing, but you're doing it almost for yourself to sort of say it, you know, to help yourself.
Yeah, I
know that sounds really almost selfish, but it's not, because it's, I mean, that's what it's all about, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, and I enjoy writing them out.
Yeah.
And I went from, so I've got some on my phone, I'll show you now, because might as well. I've got a list of all, so I've got Positivity Car Campaign, and I've got a list of like all the phrases that I've, so that I've, you probably can't see them because it's too. I've literally listed all of these phrases out that I found, and they're the ones that I used initially. And now I'll just think of stuff off the top of my head, and I'll just literally write down what I'm thinking.
Mm.
So I don't. It's weird because I used to refer to that list every time I wrote them out, and now I'm just like I know what to just write them off the top of my head.
And what you'll find is if you keep doing this naturally, yeah, if it's just like a natural thing that you're doing that is literally helping you, you know, to cope almost, or just making you feel good or whatever, if you're literally doing it in a natural sense, which I think you are, because you just said then that you're now writing things down for your own back almost, sort of thing. So I think you are doing it, you know, naturally. You'll find that you'll enjoy it more, and that it will come across to others a lot better, because people can see that it's a natural thing that you're doing. That it's not become forced in any kind of way or anything like that. And like, if you keep doing this, what you're doing at the moment, I truly think that you will be someone that will literally be writing books like that. Keep doing what you're doing, I guarantee that I'll be buying your book in about, well, let's both go, I already said.
30 years time?
2027, I think, is when we should be making it. I think that's when I said that we're going to make it. 2027? 2027, yeah, so you've got seven years. I don't know how long it will. I mean, it takes me half an hour to paint a painting. It probably takes a little bit longer than that to
Well, do you know what? Those little cards that I make, they take a bloody long time to make.
Everyone's, it's the whole rabbit and the turtle thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
So don't rush it, you know. It's just some people do things a bit quicker than others.
I think it'll be one of those things where I'll get to, like, I'll retire and I'll hit like 60, 65 and I'll be like, I fancy writing a book now.
I think it will happen sooner than that, to be honest. But yeah, it's not even about that. Don't stress yourself out about that sort of thing. But like I say, if you're enjoying what you're doing at the minute, there's no reason why that couldn't happen.
It's been lovely speaking to you. Hopefully we can get another podcast sorted in the future, because it's definitely.
I mean, it'd be interesting for you to do it again, like in a year's time, seeing where I'm at, seeing what's going on. You know, I think like the moods of people, or people's, like the way they are, literally changes by the hour.
Yeah.
Or even by the minute. So it would be interesting on a almost experimental basis, just to see like another podcast, to see how it comes out. I think, like you wouldn't want to do it too often, firstly, because no one wants to listen to my voice too often.
Well, I've got to listen to me all the time, so yeah.
Yeah, but you're the host, so you know, that's the same as And the reason why people are tuning into your podcasts or doing what they're doing is because they're listening to your voice, not mine or whoever else. So, you know, you're the host. That's the whole point of it. But I think if you did it too often, you'd be forcing.
It wouldn't be natural, would it? It wouldn't be as natural as what it would be
today. Yeah, that's what I mean. And that's exactly it. You want it to be as natural as possible because you really just get the trueness out of it. People can relate to true more than they can relate to fake. And as much as people think they can relate to fake, which I just find strange, I think people that relate to fake will end up being fake themselves. I don't know. But you want to try and keep it as true as possible. just because, it's just, that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, definitely.
I look forward to hearing what you've edited. Hopefully most of it.
I'm just going to bang out like this. 2 hours, done. Bang out.
Yeah. Is it this one?
Yeah.
Jesus. I don't know
whether
people can listen for 2 hours.
Do you know what? One of them I did. I did it with my best mate, and it was an hour and 20 minutes, and I edited it down to just over half an hour. He was so pissed off. he was like,
I'll be honest with you, I think you'd probably have to edit this down a little bit because I waffled a little bit. Sorry, losing my voice. I've waffled so much.
Thank you so much for coming on, mate. It's been a really good chat. I think
20 minutes of that was the dog going to that toilet, wasn't it? Sure it was.
But yeah, that's been really good, mate. Thank you so much for coming on. Just keep doing what you're doing, because I've been following you for over 2 years now, and I love your content and I love what you do. So yeah.
It's not going to stop, and it will go on forever. Until I'm here, forever I'm on this planet, it will keep going. So, because that's just, it's keeping me the person I am, and I appreciate that. So, yeah, it's never going to end. So, keep enjoying it.
I will. Don't worry about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, like, same, you know, same goes back to you. Keep doing what you're doing. Because I think it's important. So, and I appreciate you inviting me along today.
No, pleasure's all mine, mate.
I was a little bit, should I do it or not? I'll probably have to say something silly. But I'm glad I've done it. And I look forward to hearing back. Don't put it out as a 2-hour stream. Don't put it out as a 2-hour podcast because people are like, what is he going on about?
I mean, the longest one has been an hour and 20 minutes, and that was when it's just me and my wife doing it. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm here to beat records. That's what we're here for. So no one could ever do a 2-hour podcast again. And I'm going to finish it on 2 hours because I'm pretty sure. What time did I come on?
It was literally at 1 past, I think. Was it 1 past?
1 past.
Yeah.
Right. Just wait on.
Should we just wait for a minute?
1 more minute, and we'll just over and out. Luke, it's been good to speak to you, mate.
Yeah, you too, mate. Thank you so much for coming on. And I'll speak to you soon.
Well, keep your head up, mate, and keep doing what you're doing. And see you in a bit.
Cheers, mate. See you later. Cheers.
This is it. This is the bit that you've all been waiting for. So, the competition word that you need to remember to enter the LP Edits giveaway is Art Attack. I repeat that, it's Art Attack. You know, like the program Art Attack with Neil Buchanan in, which was absolutely legendary, really, wasn't it? Yeah, so that is it. All you need to do is remember that word and watch out for a post that's going to be coming out at some point this week, probably today, might be tomorrow. Can't guarantee when it's going to be. But you'll be able to win an LP Edits original, which is incredible. And that's it. So thank you so much for listening to the podcast, and thank you so much for Lewis for coming on, because he opened up and talked about his difficult experiences, and I learned a lot off of him, which I do all of my guests. I always learn something which is incredible, and which is again one of the many reasons why this is so worthwhile doing. And thank you so much to LPEdits/Lewis for coming on. It's an absolute pleasure. Just remember, and I always say this in every podcast, that if you are struggling from a mental illness or from mental health, please speak to somebody. Reach out to anybody. It can be a friend, a family member, somebody next door, or somebody you work with. Please just speak to somebody, because it's so important that if you are suffering in silence, you're going to be struggling in silence. Speaking out about it and getting the help that you need is the first step. Being in recovery, and I've been in your shoes, if you're listening to this and you're thinking that's me. So if you are struggling, just reach out to somebody, get professional help. I'm currently seeing a counsellor, so there's no shame in seeing a counsellor. A lot of people do. Go and see a doctor, seek medical professional help, and get the help that you need. Don't be afraid and bottle it up, because it does just get worse, and I can't stress that enough. Thank you so much for listening, and make sure you download next week's episode, and I'll announce who'll be on that shortly. Thank you.